The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you into fantasy sports like we are? It's time to get the inside scoop on the sport and how it affects your team. This is Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. It's a hard look at the transactions, the injuries, free agents, and starters. And the best part is, you get to ask the experts so you can win. Now, here's Dish Adams.
Oh, yeah. It is Thursday. It is a countdown to game time. It is week 5 of the fantasy football season. And information, that is what you want. The election of our lifetime is just around the corner. Last night was the first debate. I will put it into football terms. Well, Romney won in a blowout. Even his Homer fans over at MSNBC are acknowledging the loss. So the injured primetimer, well, we'll talk about injured primetime receivers because it's a football show. What do you do? What do you do? Hakeem Nicks is out. Greg Jennings is out. Santonio Holmes is out. Who do you pick up to replace them? Micah James, the fantasy football magic man, will join us in the second segment. Segment 3, the fantasy Taz, Jim Day, will join us. Smitty will be here to talk about how great he is, as usual. Mike Neese will be here with the Fantasy Stock Exchange. We're 4 weeks into the season. Time to trade or trade for. You got to fix your team. I'm trading away Michael Turner. I'm trading for Julio Jones. Trading for Michael Vick. Trading away Christian Ponder. I'm still trading for Tony Romo. Pierre Garçon is back. Rashard Mendenhall is back. Pittsburgh gets some defenders back. What does that mean? Bye weeks are here for Dallas, Tampa, Oakland, and Detroit. Great time to trade for, in my opinion, DeMarco Murray, Doug Martin, and Michael LaShore. The real refs are back, so the big QBs came back. I joined Tony Cincata in the Fantasy Pros last Monday. That was fun. Tomorrow I will join Taz on the Fantasy Football Power Hour, and Sunday morning before game time, of course, it's afternoon in the East at 12:30. The last 25 minutes counting up to game time, I host a panel of experts on who to sit and who to start. Final decisions on Blog Talk Radio on the Fantasy Sports Channel. FantasyInsights.com, the weekly report for Week 5, and the Crystal Ball rankings are up. Of course, tomorrow, Todd Colburn puts out his weekly article, Flex Appeal. That's going to help you, our one free article, set your lineup. Targets and touches are up there free. The injury report is up there free. The NFL player news up there free. And the depth charts are up there for free. Fantasy Insights Radio, back for another week of sports, steak, and the sexes. A shout-out and a thank-you to our sponsor, NorthwoodsCheese.com. That's NorthwoodsCheese.com. I always love saying this. They have all the cheeses and sausages you need. NorthwoodsCheese.com. Gourmet foods. All right, so now it is time for me to discuss the debate a little and to coach Mitt Romney. But first, I must say that I'm thrilled. I did not mention him in the opening, but I have a diva with us in studio today. I, for the first time in a long time since Dan Rose and Kevin both stepped down from the post, I've got a co-host today, Dennis Farrell of the Fantasy Sideline Show on ESPN 1090 Radio in Detroit. How you doing there, Dennis?
In my writer, it mentioned I wanted green M&Ms and my name mentioned first. This is BS.
See, and I thought you were horny enough. You didn't need the green. I went with the red to try to cool you off for the air.
Man, thank you so much for allowing me to bug you into this role tonight.
You know, normally this is my time. This is my monologue where I get to just, you know, reign free. And we always say that on this show, garbage time is at the front of the telecast. We go with from 2 to 2:15, I do garbage time. And then after that, we get to all the serious stuff. So you're here for garbage time today.
I'm excited because I, one skill I've not perfected in my podcasting radio is being alone and shooting off the hip. And I just can't do that. So I'm excited to sit back and listen to you do that in 4 minutes that are left.
Well, it just comes with having a few things to say and things that will piss people off that you don't want to have anybody respond to. So be careful. Well, first, before I go on my little rant, tell me, which side of the fence are you on the Electoral College? Are you leaning left or do you lean right?
I'd rather not say, just because I'm one of those guys that I hate looking at reading friends' Facebook or Twitter status, guys I like, and then they just bash the other guy into the ground, whether I like the other guy or not. And it's just like, that's not fair. Wait a second. Romney didn't care a hooker yet. What?
Well, you know, Twitter last night, somebody had a great tweet last night. They said that I thought Super Bowl was the most annoying day ever for Twitter. I was wrong. It's the debate.
It is. And I started actually blocking people like, okay, I don't like you, don't like you, don't like you. So I'd just rather not say, let everybody listen. I'm not even sure where I 100% land. I mean, I'm not sure I'm buying into the whole this is the most important election in our lifetimes, because wasn't that like 4 years ago and then 8 years ago and then 12 and 16? I don't know.
I think it's always the most important election. I'll tell you what, here's where I stand. Okay, everybody knows I lean to right of center, which means the people on this show think that I'm a crazy right-wing Republican. Smitty is an admitted socialist, so he's the balance in the group. He's way to the left. But where I stand is I'm sick of people attacking people. Attack policy all you want. I don't like when they attack people. So I always start by what I'm saying, by saying I think both these guys are good men. They're good husbands. They're good fathers. They're good men. I just disagree with a lot of policies of one of them in particular. So I will take you through. Here's what I think. I think it's time for me now. I mean, Romney won the debate, everybody. It's about 70-80% of people are saying so on CNN, on MSNBC, everywhere, if you look at the polls. So I don't think that's really the day. But it's like, you know, I said, Obama, I think he came out flat. It's like a champion, you know? It's all about the game planning. And Obama's this current champ. He's the reigning champ. But he came out a little flat. He took his opponent lightly. I think they didn't do the proper scheming. I've been really on Romney's campaign, thinking they're not doing a really good job of what they should be talking about. They're letting Obama run the narrative. Finally, last night, he stroked back. But, you know, when you're going to scheme for debate, it's just like football. You got to know your opponent's weaknesses, you know his strengths, and you got to go after it. So the question to me is, even though Obama lost the debate pretty clearly last night, does it really matter? I mean, is anybody going to change their opinion based on the debates, do you think?
No, because let's be honest, most people have their mind already made up, and it doesn't matter who's going to say what, who sounds like what. My theory is, I think Obama came out on purpose like this. Why do you want to throw your A game out right now? Because in a month, people won't remember the first debate. They're going to remember the last debate, and I think his strategy
True that.
Is, you know what, let Romney come out strong, because it's how you finish, not how you come out.
Well, you know what, it's interesting. That's a good point. And I think that is a lot of it. It was like he's like a boxer. He was doing some stick and move. He's just jabbing and, you know, trying to feel out the opponent in the first few rounds. A few things that came out last night, though, that I thought were great. First of all, here's the things that if I were Romney's campaign manager, here's the things that I would be pointing out that he didn't point out. Gas prices were $1.78 a gallon when Obama took office. Doesn't matter if it's Obama's fault at all. It's just a great thing to say. It's a great thing to say. A loaf of bread was 70 cents cheaper. That's a big deal. We buy bread every week. There has been a net loss of jobs. And here's what I can't believe. There was the whole debate over Obamacare. And the Supreme Court rules it a tax. Well, if you're Romney, why aren't you pointing out, we said it was a tax, you said it's not a tax, the Supreme Court says it is a tax. It's a tax. You lied. You lied to the American people. Shouldn't they be doing that?
You would think.
You would think, right? I think the highlights, though, we got to go over some highlights, the football style. He was talking about Obamacare, and that was, to me, that was a point in the debate where it got interesting, because he said that you spend 2 years working on Obamacare, ramming it through with no bipartisan support, instead of spending 2 years looking for jobs. I thought that was a good point. That was a pretty good one. But the big haymaker was when Obama said you get $4 billion for the oil companies and tax breaks, and Romney said, well, hey, you got $90 billion in tax breaks for these green energy companies. Oh, my goodness. He said, my friend said, you don't just pick the winners and losers, you just pick the losers. That was the roundhouse right. That was the knockout punch. You think?
I'm 100% with you, you know, and let's be honest, it comes down to social politics versus economical. It depends on, you know, do you want to vote and have, you know, social rights, or do you want to vote and have a better economy?
You're absolutely right. The Obama campaign has done an amazing job. I give this guy credit as one of the better politicians in the history of the world. The fact that they have spun the narrative towards gay marriage and a war on women in a time when our economy is the worst it's ever been and our foreign policy is absolutely laughably bad. That's a big victory for the Obama campaign. And what if I was coaching Romney, those would be the things that I would be talking about. He said that you jammed Obamacare through without bipartisan support. That was good. But why aren't they talking about what's going on around the world with our ambassadors being killed, about this foreign policy where if we bowed to the Muslims and we were nice to everybody, all of a sudden everybody's going to love us? It's not true. It's showing to be the exact opposite. And in Obama's defense, why the heck didn't he say, hey, I killed Bin Laden?
I think he, you know, what do they call it, the October surprise? Usually is October or November.
You know what? That's the thing. People are voting now. That's what's amazing to me. I didn't realize that until I started seeing the reports. But they have extended voting where you can start voting as early as October in places.
Good point. Yeah. You know,
unbelievable.
My wife won't because she's stuck in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant. So
yeah, let's hope so. See, that's the thing. Is Obama's strength is he's an absolute world-class talker. But last night, he was flat. He just seemed uninspired. He looked tired. It was almost like surreal. But I mean, the thing to me that's going to hurt Obama is that he keeps acting like he's actually made America much better in the last 4 years, which for the masses is just not true. He did try to acknowledge it a little bit. He said, "I'm not a perfect man."
Without getting too heady on this, I feel like Obama's suffering from a little bit of what Bush did. You know, I'll say this: the first couple of years, I didn't hate Bush. And I think a lot of people only hated Bush because MTV told you to, and Ben Affleck was like,
right.
But when it came down to it, the last 2 years of the Bush campaign, it just seemed like he washed his hands of everything and said, I'm milling it in. Have a good night, guys.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I was a Bush fan at first, and where I differed with Bush was on, I didn't mind the whole Iraq war thing. I just mind the reasons we gave. We should have just been honest. Listen, these guys are dangerous. They're trying to kill us. We're going in. And hey, by the way, screw you. We own the country for 100 years. We own the oil. And in 100 years, we'll give it back to you when you've lived three generations of peacefulness. That's my style. I'm all for targeted assassinations. I want to talk about foreign policy. If Ahmadinejad makes that speech at the UN when I'm president, the next morning his house blows up. That's the kind of guy I am.
I'm with you, but it just seems like Obama's gone a little too Hollywood for everybody.
Yeah, well, but also, yeah, maybe it's right. Well, you know, the media is doing everything they can to pick him up today. In fact, it is mind-blowing because it still looks like he's going to win. In fact, Dennis, it's more mind-blowing than the Cardinals being 4-0 or the Saints being 0-4. What a transition. I'm gifted with the transitions.
Who knew Arizona would have more wins than Green Bay and New Orleans?
It's amazing. It really is amazing to see what Arizona's doing, and we can start talking about them for fantasy perspective. So, see, Mike Neese, we got through the politics and nobody killed anybody. Are you happy now, buddy? Hey, is Wisconsin a red state or a blue state? I think it's a red state with Paul Ryan. So Northwoods Cheese Company, northwoodscheese.com, when you have your next debate party, get the food from them. Order your holiday gift baskets. Make sure they want to advertise again. All right, when we come back, after our first break, we are going to be joined by Micah James. Dennis is going to be here. We're going to go with 45 minutes of football. You all know garbage time is up front, everybody. We'll go 45 minutes of football. We will talk about Hakeem Nicks being out, Greg Jennings being out, Santonio Holmes being out. Micah James, the fantasy football magic man, will break it down for us. Right now, Matt's Musical Styling is going to take us out to the break.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports. Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fan's perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network, and let's talk football.
Want to experience football from the perspective of two former players who also have coaching experience? Tune in to Sports Info UM with Daryl Oliver and Sam Sword. We'll talk about the drafts, play-by-play, and even what's happening in the offseason. Daryl and Sam have the connections and the knowledge to bring you the inside stories of the game's past, present, and future. We'll cover the camps, on and off field, and everything else, football and beyond. Sports Info UM is heard Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
Oh, crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
You know, everybody, Halloween is coming up. And you have relatives that don't live where you live. You can't send them candy. Everybody gets candy for Halloween. But what can you send them? You can send them a creative gift. Go to Joyce Reed at shopcreativegifts.com. Shopcreativegifts.com will send to anyone in the country. Just call Joyce or visit shopcreativegifts.com. Fantasy Insights premium show sponsor. All right, I want to start by making a note about Chuck Pagano. The coach in Indianapolis. Thoughts and prayers from all of us at Fantasy Insights, everybody here on the air, go out to him and his family. Rapid and speedy recovery, Chuck. And after our moment that we just took for you, now we're going to get to the football side of what this means. Bruce Arians is pass happy. So we're going to talk about that. But before we do, let me bring on an esteemed guest. Normally we don't have esteemed guests. We just have guys like Dennis.
Yeah.
I had to take a shot at you. You're such a diva now.
I was about to answer as in, thank you for having me back on.
All right, our next guest, all of us in the fantasy football community appreciate him. He always tweets about our podcast and lets everybody know where we are. The fantasy football magic man, Micah James. Micah, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, Dish. Thank you for the invitation and that fantastic welcome. Actually, you sort of had me looking over my shoulder to see if I was targeted for assassination, so I'm glad I've got this far.
No, you're one of the good ones. Don't worry.
Oh, good.
I only target those who contradict the American way of life. I even tolerate all the crazy liberals that I'm friends with. In fact, I put on my Facebook today, Daryl, Dennis, you might not like this. I said facts equals liberal kryptonite. I like that. I think that's funny. All right. Micah, we're looking at the bye weeks this week, Tampa, Dallas, Oakland, and Detroit. A couple of players between, really, it's mostly Dallas and Tampa, Doug Martin and DeMarco Murray and Tony Romo. I think it's safe to say that in the last few weeks they've underperformed a bit.
Yep.
My view on these guys is I'm a believer. I think that they will turn it around. I think they've just had some bad games, some bad matchups, and they are all three going to turn it around. I'm looking to trade for them now while people are desperate to fill a week five hole in their lineup on a temporary basis. I think their value gets lowered just by that, plus a few bad performances. On Martin, Murray, and Romar, are these three guys that you're ready to sell on, or are you still buying?
No, well, you know, I agree with you 100% on Murray and Romo. What people have got to understand with that Dallas team, and they looked awful, you know, Monday night. It was just, it was painful to watch. But that team's played the Giants, they played Seattle, they played Tampa Bay, and they played Chicago. So those are four pretty stout defenses.
Yep.
So you look at somebody like DeMarco Murray, who has, you know, underperformed. That's an understatement. I think you've got to expect him to bounce back. Tony Romo, you kind of know what you're going to get with him. You're going to get great weeks, and you're going to get weeks like this week where he just kind of leaves you scratching your head. But I do think both of those I'm definitely buying going forward. With Martin, I'm a little less certain only because he's a rookie, and we've seen kind of a dramatic drop-off from the beginning of the season going forward. Week four, he didn't get a single red zone attempt. LeGarrette Blount got three. So I'm either wondering if he's showing some early signs of fatigue or if Shiano has just decided to maybe look in a different direction. I think this bye week is very appropriate for the Bucs and for Martin. So I'm not throwing in the towel on him, but I really am going to be curious to see what the next couple of weeks look like.
Well, it's interesting, and I'll let Dennis give some feedback here, too. I'm a little bit down on Martin. I would trade for him if I had a hole at running back, but where I have him as a third running back, I'm looking to trade him. I think the issue is what you said, is that the Bucs need to do something to change up that offense. I mean, they were still handing the ball to Martin and passing to him when they were down two touchdowns in the fourth quarter against Dallas. They're really not – that offense is really struggling in general. It's interesting to see. I mean, I've got an opportunity to trade Martin for the Ravens defense and Brandon Pettigrew. And I'm soft at tight end and defense in that league, and I'm strong at running back. I think I'm going to do it. I mean, Dennis, you think that's crazy?
Oh, you're getting – I zoned out for a second. Mike Neese posted something. I was like, oh, Mike, he's such an angel. But no, I don't think that's crazy.
So you have no idea what I just asked you? This is phenomenal. This is like Rick Perry's debate moment that took him out of the debate. Dennis, you're fired.
Where am I? Who am I?
Can you help him out? Can you answer the question?
Hey, listen, on this great Tuesday afternoon, no. Look, Doug Martin, I'm not sold on him. I like the rookie point, and this is a slow offense to change. And you saw them start airing it out a lot more towards the end of the game, and that gave Vincent Jackson a little bit of value. But I have no faith in Freeman, no faith in this offense. I just – fantasy-wise, Doug Martin is a sell for me right now, but I'm not giving him away pennies on the dollar.
Well, you're in Detroit. Mike, Dennis is in Detroit, so he probably knows a little bit more about Michael LaShour than we do. But I figure right now, his first game was great. If you're using magician's patter, you could tell somebody you're trying to trade with, hey, he did great against Tennessee. Everybody is great against Tennessee. Look how he wasn't as good when they played Minnesota, and now he's on a bye and he's sharing time. You know, I think you can use that to trade for LaShour. And he's a good trade for candidate. Where are you on him?
Yeah, definitely. If you can get him somehow, because we really haven't seen, I think, what his body of work is going to look like. You know, it's like you said, the first game he was there, he was amazing. I actually was surprised. I didn't expect him to perform that well. He came out of it a little nicked up, and so you kind of saw that plus just Minnesota's defense really stifled that whole team. I don't think he got a real good opportunity last week. So, yeah, that and the bye, he's definitely a try-and-get candidate in my book.
Now, with Greg Jennings out, are you going to be taking a flyer on either James Jones or Randall Cobb in your starting lineup? I mean, Jennings is definitely out this week and probably two or three more. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I actually picked Jones up on the waiver wire in a couple of my leagues this week. And, you know, he's a hit-or-miss guy. I kind of know what I'm going to get, and I just hope it's upside with Jennings out. I've been high on Cobb since the preseason. I drafted him in just about every league that I could. I've actually been a little disappointed because they just seem to refuse to get him involved in the offense where he can be productive. And I hope that comes a little bit more as he develops. PPR, if you get points for returns, he's still awesome to play. In the meantime, I think I would probably slot Jones in over him just because I think Jones is going to be more productive in the short term.
Well, when we move on and look at the Giants, Hakeem Nicks is out. And, you know, I had said last Friday, I can't wait till Taz comes on because I told him I was selling on Nicks and get rid of him because his injury is going to last and bother him all year. And now here he is. He's out again, and we don't know what's going to happen. But with him and Ramsey Barton, or Ramus Barton, as Dennis calls him, is going to be out again with his concussion, what do you think? I mean, is Dominic Hickson startable? Or is Ruben Randle playable at a flex? I personally am staying away from everybody not named Victor Cruz on the Giants' offense this week other than Eli Manning. What are your thoughts?
I definitely think you can start Hickson. They're going to throw to somebody. I mean, they're going up against Cleveland. We've seen how teams have treated that Browns defense without Joe Hayden. Now, if this is next week, I may have a different answer for you. But here this week, I still think Eli is going to have a big game. And, yeah, I definitely would start Hickson. Bennett, I'm actually a little bit less confident about. Cleveland does a pretty good job on tight ends. But I think if you've got Hickson or Cruz, you can roll both of them out and start and feel good about it.
Now, what about Ruben Randle slash Jarrell Jernigan? Either one of those guys playable at a flex spot or no?
I think you'd have to really be reaching to put one of them in. I mean, we've heard, I think, kind of some very negative things coming out about Randle and his work ethic and just kind of picking things up. And, you know, Jernigan, same kind of a thing. So, I mean, you can throw them in and maybe they get a lucky TD. I would not want to count on either one of them in my lineup.
All right. Now, let's take a look at this. And, Dennis, you can contribute here, too. Dominic Hickson. Now, Dennis, are you paying attention?
I'm with you. Had me at
low. Dominic Hickson or Jerome Simpson? Which guy do you think is a better start this week?
I'm kind of rolling with Jerome Simpson. I think he's playing his way back into that lineup, and I've got a little more faith in him.
I love when you say you're rolling with Jerome Simpson. There's so many wonderful connotations that come with that. Micah, what is your opinion on that one?
I am not flipping with Jerome Simpson, unfortunately. I Ponder's injury bothers me a little bit. They said he was better today, but, you know, I'm not sure how he's going to come out. And, you know, like I said before, I think with Hickson, we're just going to see a lot of opportunities against a Cleveland team that's given up a lot of points to wide receivers. So I would take Nixon over Simpson this week if I had that choice.
Now, Greg Jennings and Hakeem Nicks, is either one of these guys worth trading for or far too risky because they just might be lingering injuries all year long?
You know, it depends on what you're giving up and what your strengths and things are. I think, personally, it's too early in the season to write them off. I am concerned with Nicks. I own him a bunch of leagues, and I've been scrambling, you know, this whole season trying to put together a patchwork lineup. But, you know, Jennings with his groin, both of those are things that can linger. But if they let them rest a couple weeks, I think when it really counts as we head into fantasy playoffs, both of those are guys that you're going to be glad to have on your team.
That's a good point, which is why, Dennis, I probably keep trying to trade you for Nicks.
Listen, and I'm open and available. And, you know, I trust you, considering you're a guy that took Dave Wilson in the third round, and you're a guy I want to turn to when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Hey, you know, I read today that Wilson might start getting some carries. What about the Jets receivers? I mean, it's an awful situation. Santonio Holmes is out now. I liked Jeremy Curley as a slot receiver, not so much as a starting receiver. Stephen Hill is hurt, so they're going to roll out Shillens and Jeremy Curley as their starting receivers this weekend. Is either one of those guys playable against that Houston defense, Micah?
If that just doesn't strike fear into the heart of Texans fans, I don't know what would. No, I personally, because, and the real thing for me is you've got to look at the quarterback play on that team, and Sanchez can't get the ball to anybody. So when you combine that with a difficult defense that's going to be in his face just all day, no, I can't start anybody from the Jets, from the quarterback to the running backs, all the way down the line.
Well, and, you know, and Dustin Keller's out too. And so this begs the question. To me, what doesn't make sense at all is if I'm the Jets right now and I'm looking at my roster, I have one weapon and one weapon only. One guy that if I put on the field, the entire framework of everything the other team has to do on defense changes. I have no talent at the skill positions. At running back, receiver, tight end, all I have is a big offensive line that can sort of run block. Why not put Tebow in there? What else do they have? I'd have Tebow in there running the that flex draw all game long. Is it going to happen? Are they going to use him? I don't understand why they won't.
You know, I really think it comes down to Ryan not being able to admit that they missed on Sanchez. It's kind of the same thing with Green, and, you know, he's been non-productive, but they won't sort of give up on him and put a guy like Powell in who's got more ability. So, you know, I don't know if we're going to see Tebow this week. But I agree with you. It seems like that's kind of their one thing. You wonder why they don't roll the dice and see what happens.
Hey, even if they put him at tailback, I mean, get him on the field. They're not using him at all.
Totally disagree, guys.
Go ahead and tell us why.
You're at this point, you're trying to protect Tim Tebow. You don't want to put him in when all of your stars are out. And he comes in, he lays a big goose egg. Then you start with the why did you trade for Tim Tebow, you know, arguments. I think this is more of a position of if we throw him in now, where it's not whether we're admitting to Sanchez that we burnt on this or not. I think it's a point of if we're just throwing Tim Tebow to the wolves, how can he get anything done with Jason Hill, for God's sakes? I mean, this guy was working at McDonald's like a week ago. Him and Kevin Smith are riding dirty. That's how worthless this guy is at this point.
Hey, listen, there's a lot to be said for working at McDonald's. Listen, we're going to be back in a minute. Micah, if you can stay, please do. We are going to have Jim Day, the Fantasy Taz, is going to join us as well. And Matt's Musical Stylings will take us to the break. And my comment before we go to the break is, Tebow would tell you, put me in, coach. Matt's Musical Stylings taking us to the break.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
All right, we're back. We are joined by Micah James, the fantasy football magic man. We are joined by my temporary co-host, Dennis Farrell of the Fantasy Sideline Show, the Fantasy Diva.
Hi, everybody.
And we are joined now by one of our favorite show contributors, the Tazman, the Fantasy Taz, Jim Day. How you doing, bud?
Hey, I'm doing great, Dish. How you doing?
I am doing great. I'm always doing great when I'm right when I tell you something, so I'm very pleased with myself today that Hakeem Nicks is now out for at least this week and probably more.
So why does that make you right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, you don't remember because you do 750 podcasts a week.
It is true. It's hard to keep up.
It is hard to keep up. It's hard to keep up with you. And I think Smitty is on the line as well. Smitty, are you here?
I am. Greetings all.
Now, are you licking your wounds today? How are you feeling after seeing your socialist leader get absolutely destroyed by a moderate? the result remains the same. It's just like if you played me in fantasy football, you'd try real hard and you'd be so earnest, but at the end of the day, you're still going to be a losing goober.
You know what? You're probably right. That's the problem, is that people just don't pay attention.
332 to 206. That's what the electoral vote would be if it were held today.
332 to 206?
Yep.
No, Romney won't win by that much. All right. Well, hey, oh, I'll be here all week.
Hey, wait a minute.
Let's get
Obama's
to
at 269,
fantasy.
Drop dead. So he's already got a tie locked up.
Smitty, no more fantasy politics. We're on to fantasy football. Garbage time is the first segment.
Right. I read your rant. I'm like, my God.
Hey, back to facts, liberal clip tonight. All right, Rashard Mendenhall is back. And this is who I want to talk about now. Let's start with you, Micah. What's your quick take on Mendenhall? Are you taking a chance on him, or are you thinking that Steeler offensive line isn't good enough to make anybody a good back?
They're having offensive line problems. There's no question about that. But the bigger thing for me, and, you know, we've sort of seen a lot of these guys come back quick from the knee injuries and kind of been proven wrong. I mean, Adrian Peterson has just been amazing. But I still am in the camp of I've got to see it before I can buy it. So I'm not chasing Mendenhall right now. If he came to me in an offer, you know, I would certainly pick him up, but I'm not going out of my way to try and get him.
You know, a friend told me once that's the way to avoid ever getting caught by a cop when you're with a woman who might be a prostitute. You say, I got to see it before I can buy it. And if they show it to you, they're not a cop because the cop won't show it to you. Interesting tidbit.
That is good to know.
It's good for everybody to know, especially when Vegas time comes around. Jim Day, Fantasy Taz. The Steelers get Polamalu and Harrison back this week. Does that make their defense an elite unit that's startable once again?
Absolutely. You're talking about two players of the year coming back for one defensive unit that's pretty strong already.
Yeah, I think so. I'm with you on that. What about Jeremy Maclin? No catches last week. Says he was as healthy as he's ever been. You buying low on him or are you staying away?
No, I buy low on Maclin. It's just one of those one-week aberrations, you know. He's healthy. He'll get his time. It just wasn't last week.
Dennis Farrell, is it time to trade Chris Johnson coming off that big win, or has he figured it out and now you want to hang on to him?
You know what? I'm going to hang on and see what he does with Hasselbeck. It always seemed like, you know, when him and Hasselbeck are together, Hasselbeck knows how to use him. I'm staying put. I know everybody else is sell, but really after one good game, what kind of value are you going to get for the guy anyway?
Wait, isn't he the one you fleeced Ruben Drones for? Didn't you fleece Ruben?
I did. I feel like I fleeced him because he did have his best game after I acquired him.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Michael Turner. I wrote last week after his game, sell now, trade him while he's hot. But then again, he gets another good matchup against Washington this week. Micah, are you done with Michael Turner? Is it time to trade him or get him this start and then trade him? Or you hanging on to him for this year?
I've been down on Turner since the preseason, so if I happen to have him, which I don't,
you
but
went down
after
on
last
Turner?
Week, take whatever
wow.
you can get for him. I just really think it's a matter of time before Quiz takes that job over. Turner will still have some goal line usefulness, but I would definitely sell now while I could.
I'm not going to even acknowledge what I think I heard in the background. Ryan Tannehill, Tasman, where are you on this guy? Is he? I mean, he plays the Cincinnati D, which has given up big performances, so maybe he could do something nice this week. But 400 yards, obviously not going to happen again. But is he a viable starter now? Is he ready for this league?
Oh, he's definitely playing pretty good football. I mean, he's making smart decisions. He's throwing the ball a lot. He's going to have some good weeks, especially when they're playing from behind and he's tossing the rock 40, 45 times. No doubt about it. He's quietly having a very solid rookie season.
Now, staying in Miami, where are you on Brian Hartline? Trade him or can he be consistent?
Oh, I've always liked Hartline. He just never seemed to put it together. Well, right now, maybe it's just the Tannehill ad, but they are absolutely putting it together. He's seeing a ton of targets. It's going to continue. They need him to be the number one. He'll be the number one.
Dennis, Andrew Hawkins, the problem I have with him is if he doesn't get a touchdown, he basically kills you. Twice he's had the touchdown. Last game he had his two or three touches. Is this a guy you're feeling comfortable starting as a flex, or are you a little wary of Hawkins?
Not a chance. This guy's not seeing enough targets to be in my lineup. It comes down to, at least for me personally, wide receivers, it comes down to targets. And targets means he's trusted, he's being looked at. Hawkins is just not the guy that's going to get it done for you in that flex.
Smitty, looking at Jackie Battle and Ryan Matthews' situation, Battle's actually listed atop the depth chart now as the starter, even though really Matthews is going to lead the touches. Any consideration to a permanent position on your roster for Battle, or is he just a 1 to 2 week play and now Matthews takes back over?
I stick with Battle. I think he's a solid pickup in general. I don't know if I start him every week. If you had to start him this week, game against New Orleans should be high scoring. And I think Matthews is out of favor. San Diego's off to a 3-1 start. The team doesn't have patience with Matthews' injuries, his fumblings. I like Battle, and I keep him on my roster.
Mike, between Michael Floyd getting a little bit better and Andre Roberts now really starting to excel, where are you on that Arizona receiving core? Is it deeper than just Fitzgerald now? Can you start Roberts or Floyd on your roster?
I think you can. I think you can start Roberts. I actually did last week. I was plugging in for Nick, so that was a pleasant move that got made. But, you know, the thing, if you look at Floyd's numbers, he had a ton of targets last week, but everybody on that team had a lot more targets than they typically do. You know, Roberts had 9, and he hadn't had that many since week 1. So I wouldn't get too hung up on his involvement last week as saying, okay, Floyd has kind of arrived already. I think we've got to see it for a few more weeks, and then maybe he'll take over. But Roberts is producing, so I would definitely see putting him in as a wide receiver, too, or a flex.
All right, getting now to you, the Taz man, Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller. Tashard Choice obviously is out of that mix now. But between Jackson and Spiller, are you starting either one of those guys with confidence?
Not this week, no. Absolutely not. Not against San Fran. If I had to pick one gun to my head, I think I like Spiller's chances a little better just by them trying to get him the ball on the outside in free space might give him a little bit more. But definitely I don't like these guys running up the middle against this defense.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, about obviously, this week. But as the season goes on, I think after the San Francisco game, maybe Spiller comes back. Rumor has it Aaron Hernandez practice today, even in a limited fashion. Is he worth starting, Dennis?
No, not yet. You know, I got to see him healthy before I throw him in. And that New England offense is just crazy. And by the way, I have a question for all the experts for my lineup personally for tonight.
We'll let you know if we find any. Go ahead.
Ooh, burned. Listen, my flex spot, I've got Brandon Lloyd right now sitting in there. But I have Andre Roberts, and I have Ryan Williams sitting on the bench. Do you play either one of those two Arizona Cardinals guys over Brandon Lloyd against the Denver defense this week? Anyone?
Smitty, why don't we start with you?
I'm going to stick with Lloyd. I'm not completely sold on Williams. I think Fisher is building a pretty good defense there at home. I think the Rams surprised him tonight. I stick with Lloyd there.
Dennis? Well, you asked the question. Taz, man.
Hell no.
Taz?
I like Lloyd myself. I agree. San Luis defense pretty stout against the pass.
Micah?
If Ryan Williams is going to have a week, this is going to be the week. I think we said that last week, too, and he didn't do anything. But, you know, that's not a tremendously difficult matchup. St. Louis defense is getting better. The problem is, you know, we just haven't seen it yet, and we've started to see Lloyd produce a little bit. I'd be 50-50, but I might be willing to put Williams in there and see if he doesn't get it done tonight.
Yeah, and I think that I'm going to agree with that. I think that's a perfect analysis. I think Lloyd did finally start to show something, and I really love him. But the problem with Lloyd is Brady can go wherever the matchup is, and if Lloyd's matchup isn't the best one, if Champ Bailey somehow gets over there, you know, you never know. I'd start Williams, too, against that sieve of a St. Louis rushing D. They're a great defense as far as creating turnovers, and they've been doing well against the pass, but they've been giving up a lot of big rushing performances.
Okay, so we helped them out by going 2-2.
Yeah, 2-2, so that, guess what that means. You got to make your own decision. Flip a coin. That's always the best method.
I'm always right.
Yeah, Smitty says he's always right, and he has the documentation to prove it. And if you don't know how great he is, he's happy to tell you. Speaking of which, Smitty, now that Garcon is back, does Leonard Hankerson have any remaining value?
Not a whole lot. I mean, it's pretty clear that Garcon and Fred Davis, to a lesser extent, are RG3's favorite targets. So I hope you've got better options than Hankerson this week.
Tasman, is there any possibility now that Meacham against his former team, the Saints, gets in the end zone?
It's always a possibility. Would I bet on it? Heck no.
See, I kind of like him to have a decent game this week. I'm thinking he might be a quarterback.
I never trusted the guy ever. I mean, no. He had one of the best quarterbacks in the league throwing to him, and he couldn't be consistent week to week. He gets paid big money to go to San Diego to be their number one, and he and Phillip Rivers can't even get close to the same page.
Yeah, he's
I don't even think they're in the same book.
Yeah, he's a streaky receiver with poor hands.
See that? Now that is debate coaching. That's good debate. That flipped the tide. That turned my opinion. That's the kind of thing that Romney and Obama need. Good debate coaching. That's good stuff.
I could coach him.
Hey, Nate Washington at Minnesota or a flyer on TJ Graham against San Francisco. Anybody going Graham in that scenario? Micah?
No.
Smitty?
No. I can't.
Taz?
Graham against who?
San Fran.
No, it was just him and
him against Nate Washington.
Nate Washington. I would absolutely take Nate Washington.
All right, Dennis, you agree?
Yeah.
I was maybe going to go for a flyer on TJ Graham, upside flyer. I like him as a flex play. All right, we have less than a minute to go until we get to the next segment. Micah James, the Fantasy Football Magic Man, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yep, they can find me on Twitter at FFMagicMan, and you can find me on the web at FFMagicMan.com.
Well, that makes it real easy. FF Magic Man, Micah James, thanks so much for joining us. When we come back, we will have Mike Neese here with the Fantasy Stock Exchange, that guy from Chicago, and the rest of us will play the sit and start interrogation game. Again, Micah James, thanks for joining us.
You got it.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
Lockdown Coverage.
Get ready to talk sports with the big guys. Tune in to Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis every Tuesday for the inside and outside of the business of sports. Keith and his guests will provide expert commentary and answer all of your burning questions about your favorite team, the players, and what's next. It's time to have fun with the game. Listen for Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis and his favorite co-hosts every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The talk doesn't get any hotter.
Sports continues to grow and evolve to ever-increasing prominence in today's society. On All Around Sports, host John Inglesby will connect with the leading newsmakers from the sports world, including players, owners, and fellow sports journalists, discussing the top news and events that are relevant to sports today. John will also report from and offer his experience of the world's top sports events. Tune in to All Around Sports with John Inglesby, Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
All right, bringing it into the final segment. And we're going to start with that guy from Chicago, Mike Neese, in the Fantasy Stock Exchange. Mike, how are you today?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. I know you were a little trepidatious about us having that political discussion. I had to remind you the beginning of the show is garbage time. That's why you come on at the end of the show, value time.
Well, it was indeed garbage time. I must admit on that. I must admit that.
Anyway, yeah, well, you know, Chicago politics, you don't vote. You just strong arm. So let's see on the stock exchange, who is on the way up? Let's talk about a quarterback, a running back, a receiver, and a tight end going up.
Oh, let's see here. A quarterback, we like Mitch, Rugnow. we like Andy Dalton at Cincinnati, and the Bengals are playing well, and the offense is looking good behind the kid. Running back, Jackie Battles, I think he's a strong play at flex right now.
There you go.
Marcus Colston, finally getting healthy. Tripled his season to date stats in week 4. And also getting healthy, Jason Witten at tight end. his 13-catch game against the Bears was probably the only highlight that they had.
Well, you know, the other thing I like about Witten is he has a bye this week, so you probably can trade for him easier than before because everybody gets desperate. They need a plug-in play. Who's on the way down?
And going down, Alex Smith. There, I almost stumbled again. I was reading my wrong notes. Alex Smith, less than 200 yards a game and only 5 touchdowns in 4 games. Who needs a game manager as their quarterback? DeMarco Murray. Dish said he was trading for him earlier, but at 41 carries for 106 yards and only 1 touchdown, I don't know if I'd do that or not.
Who you got a receiver?
That's in his last 3 games. Michael Crabtree. A good matchup with Alex Smith. Neither doing anything. And tight end, I'm starting to wonder about Antonio Gates.
Huh.
Only healthy enough to play in 3 of the 4 games and only 10 catches for 124 yards.
And we got to give you a little bit of credit because your deep sleeper is starting to wake up, Brandon Whedon. What's going on with him?
Brandon is waking up. He's got his second 300-yard game playing for an absolutely miserable Cleveland team. And he's starting to look like a little bit of a bright spot.
Yeah, I was impressed with him. He is starting to show some growth, which actually is what they thought would happen because he's older, and so they figured that he would actually mature pretty quickly. All right, Mike, thank you for the Fantasy Stock Exchange. Stay with us. It is now time for us to do our favorite thing that we do on the show. This is called the interrogation game. This is where I will interrogate the experts of who to sit and who to start from now through the end of the show. But first, we have a public service announcement from Smitty because he feels we're doing a disservice by not giving some type of preview on the evening's game. So, Smitty, show us your erudition. Give us a minute on tonight's game.
All right. So I think tonight what people are going to be surprised to see is that the Rams are basically back together, as you'd expect from a Jeff Fisher coach team. And I think the Rams will actually take the 2 points that they're getting and knock off the 4-0 Arizona Cardinals. It's going to be a defensive struggle, and I look for Steven Jackson to have a good game and Sam Bradford to keep doing what they're doing and for Kevin Kolb basically to look like the Kolb of years past, throw a few interceptions, and I'm going to say that the Rams win 17-13.
In the entertainment league where you pick all the games for me against the spread and if I win I look good, are you going to win this week? Because I don't think we've been doing too well.
No, it's been I haven't quite tuned in, and I have to say that the one thing I had going for me is that I had all of the key games picked, and the only reason I don't have all 4 keys is because the Giants can't kick a field goal or not get a penalty before trying a longer field goal.
Yeah, otherwise, see, I can do it half-ass. I need you to do it right. All right, let's get to the quarterbacks in the interrogation game. Right now against Jacksonville, you have Jay Cutler, you have Matt Schaub at the Jets, you have Andrew Luck at home against Green Bay. Of those 3, who are the experts starting? Luck at home against Green Bay, Schaub in New York against the Jets, or Cutler at Jacksonville? Let's start with you, Smitty.
I'm going to stay with Schaub. I mean, Houston's playing about as well as they've been playing as any team in the league, and I'm taking Schaub out of that group.
Tasman.
I'm absolutely going with Andrew Luck in a game where he's going to have to throw a ton. Schaub isn't going to have to throw a lot at all. They're just going to run right down the Jets' throat all game long. Jets are not going to put up any offense. No reason for Schaub to put it to the air. Andrew Luck is the play.
Diva? Oh, that's you, Dennis.
Oh, yes, that's me. I'm going Luck, too. I just really think with the coach being out, these guys are going to be really inspired, and I'm going to go with the inspiration.
Chicago?
I'm going to have to go with Luck on this also. I'm still not sold on Cutler, and Schaub's too much of a game manager.
I'm going to go with Luck also, but the only reason I'm thinking going a little Gangnam style with Schaub is that they're going to be on prime time, and I think this team wants to show what they can do. But Andrew Luck is the right call. All right, let's move down into the running backs because they're more exciting than the quarterbacks. At running back in a running back 2 spot, Green Ellis at home against Miami, Rashard Mendenhall at home against Philadelphia, or Ahmad Bradshaw at home against Cleveland? The law firm, Mendenhall or Bradshaw? Smitty.
I'm going to go with Bradshaw. He looked good enough. He seems healthy, and Cleveland is not going to be stopping too much of what the Giants do. So I think Bradshaw is by far the safest call there.
Tasman?
Yeah, I have to go with Bradshaw as well. You know, Cleveland isn't a bad defense against the run, but they'll have their hands full keeping Eli in check, so Bradshaw have a good game.
Dennis?
Bradshaw.
Nice.
I got to say Bradshaw, too, Ben and all. Stunk when he was healthy. Why should he be any better now?
I'm going with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis ahead of all you guys. I think that Miami defense a little bit overrated against the rush. I think the Bengals will have the ability to run, so I'm going Green Ellis, but all of them within a few points of each other. All right, moving down into a running back three or a flex spot. C.J. Spiller, Pierre Thomas, or Donald Brown? Donald Brown, C.J. Spiller, Pierre Thomas. Of those three guys, who's the most playable? Let's start with you, Smitty.
I got to go C.J. Spiller purely based on talent. And we talked about a little bit earlier that if you're going to beat San Francisco at all, it's got to be with speed. I like him to break one, take it to the house. So it's not going to be pretty, but I go with Spiller there with a pretty good flyer.
Taz?
I agree. I go with Spiller just based on the upside.
Dennis?
I go Brown because he's the only one there.
And Nice?
Yeah, I'd have to go with Brown.
I'm going to go with Brown also only because, like you said, Dennis, he's the only one there. He is their clear starter. Let's go now on the fringe of a flex spot. I just want to see if any of these guys is playable at all. Jonathan Stewart or Jacquizz Rodgers or Bilal Powell? Any of the three of them going to get a flex start for you guys, Smitty? Rodgers, Powell, or Stewart?
I think Stewart's okay. I'm still not that sold on Seattle. I like Carolina, still a young team playing at home. So I think Stewart's playable. Unfortunately, I have to play him in one of my leagues.
Taz?
Yeah, I got to play him in one of my leagues as well. So I guess he is.
Dennis?
Yeah, play him in one of my leagues also. So let's go Stewart.
Nice?
I got to say Stewart.
Okay, well, all of you unanimously say Stewart, which means there's definitely no way anybody should start Stewart. I'm saying that this is homerism. They want to start a guy on their team. We're going with Jacquizz Rodgers against that Washington sieve in mop-up time to get the best there. All right, let's move on to the wide receivers. And at the wide receiver two flex, right around there, Pierre Garçon or Steve Johnson or Dwayne Bowe. Garçon, Stevie Johnson, or Dwayne Bowe. Smitty, one-word answers. We're under the two-minute bell.
I'm going to stick with Dwayne Bowe. He's been solid this year, and Baltimore certainly can be thrown against him.
Taz?
Bowe. Absolutely.
Dennis?
Bowe.
Nice?
Bowe.
I'm going Pierre Garçon. Andre Roberts, James Jones, or Danny Amendola? Roberts, Jones, or Amendola? Smitty?
Jones with Jennings out in what will be a high-scoring game with New Orleans.
Taz?
I'm going with Amendola.
You love Amendola. Dennis?
I'm going with Taz.
Nice?
Like Amendola.
You guys like Amendola? You like James Jones? I'm going Andre Roberts. I think you got to ride him while he's on this hot streak. Cobb loves throwing to him. All right. We're down near the one-minute bell. We'll do a tight end, and then we'll let everybody say how you can find him. Let's look. Take a look. Oh, we're at 1 minute already, so one-word answers. Jermaine Gresham, Brent Celek, Aaron Hernandez. Gresham, Hernandez, or Celek. Smitty?
I'm going with Celek.
Taz?
Celek.
Nice?
Gresham.
Dennis?
Celek.
All right, Dennis Farrell of the Fantasy Sideline Show. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Sunday mornings, ESPN1090.com. Tune in, please.
ESPN1090.com, Sunday mornings. Fantasy Taz, you can find him at FantasyTaz.com or at FantasyTaz on Twitter. Smitty and Nice, you can find both of them at FantasyInsights.com. And I am Dish Adams. Find me at Fantasy Insights on Twitter. I'm all over the web on the podcast and, of course, at FantasyInsights.com. Tune in Sunday morning for Final Decisions with Fantasy Insights on Blog Talk Radio at 12:30 p.m. EST, 9:30 a.m. PST. I don't know if I got the STs right. As long as I don't have the STDs, we're all good. All right, everybody, have a good week, and we'll talk to you.
All right, good luck tonight. Take the ring.
The weekend is coming up, and now you know what's going to make you a better fantasy player. Tune in again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, for more of Fantasy Insights on the Voice America Sports Channel. Don't forget to visit FantasyInsights.com, the best fantasy football site on the net.